Saturday morning as Sonny Clark gets set for a little IFL football that happens at 2 p.m. over on the Couch Potato Sports Show. We're stealing time here from NDB Media Sports Channel. Cuervo should be giving us a call in here pretty soon. Not sure what, when and if he'll be there. He said he will be there. So we're all set and ready to go here on a Saturday or a Sunday morning. So used to football games being done on Saturday morning for the IFL. So my mind's in IFL frame as the Texas Revolution are going to take on the Chicago Slaughter over at Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Over in Chicago, you know, suburb of Chicago, but the Chicago Slaughter. So we get to see Billy Back and Company here. There's the team that we call. We are the Texas Revolution Radio Network. So make sure you head on over to the Couch Potato Sports Show at 2 o'clock this afternoon as we get into some IFL afternoon football. It's St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day, everything's green as Indie Media Sports Channel, two of them has signed in, so I'm assuming, and it's in green, by the way, so that might be one of our co-hosts there, which would probably be Roger Noriega joining us in here in the morning. We had to steal that because of the football game that's happened at 2 o'clock here, so we are on NDB Media. There's Cuervo. He just joined in the club, so we're out getting ready to start off the day with some sports talk here on a Sunday morning on that being said. So, good morning, everybody. It's Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio, coming to you live here on a Sunday morning as I'm waiting for our, compadres to call in. And I don't see the switchboard very often, so I got to hopefully one of our other co-hosts knows where it is because I'm looking for it to start off Cuervo when he gets there. Let's go ahead, and I don't think that's Cuervo. This has got to be Roger Noriega. Good morning, my friend.
Yes, good morning, Couch Potato. It is the deity of the airwaves.
Yeah, I had to steal your time. I thought I'd call you, but I
not
didn't
want
to wake you up too early.
Funny, I thought we were under the impression that when you have a program on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, NDB Media Sports is available to you at your leisure.
Oh, at you. Ooh, what a guy. Hey, now Cuervo's going to sign in. Are you on the switchboard?
Yes, sir, I am.
So you know when Cuervo comes in, you got that file already because I don't know where it is. So
swear to God, I will have it ready to go at a moment's notice, at a second's notice, at a nanosecond's notice.
And what I'm doing here, just to let you know, I'm hitting the print screen and opening up my paint page because on the switchboard, our, the leader of the pack, I guess you can say, has called in. God is online here, so I had to make sure I grabbed that, and I'm going to put that up on the Facebook because God has called in. So that's a good thing about one of the things I like about paint. It's so easy. I can just do exactly what I'm doing, and I can throw up a picture over on Blog Talk Radio or Facebook in just a matter of moments. So that is real good to do. So how are you doing this morning, Scorekeeper?
Yes, you addressed me as the Almighty One. No, just kidding.
sorry, Almighty.
No, not at all. Sonny, actually doing very well. I was pleasantly surprised when I received the email this morning that you were going to go live. And I was wondering about it myself. I really thought I had missed your program this morning. I was up at around 8 o'clock and came over to my office and said, okay, well, good. He hasn't done it yet, so maybe he will be doing it soon. And right now, 9 o'clock, bink, your show is going live in 5 minutes.
Yep. So we are all set, which is amazing. But I just posted the switchboard where God has called into the show. So I thought, hold on, God has called it, has called in. So we are squared and post. So we're just waiting on Cuervo to get in here to get us. But the game is at noon your time. At 2 o'clock my time, Chicago Slaughter and the Texas Revolution. You going to be able to join us today, or are you going to be busy?
I'm here, Sonny. We are going. Yeah.
All right. We are going.
12 o'clock. 12 o'clock, baby.
And I know you got clients and things be poking their heads.
No,
and...
no, not at all, Sonny. Today is Sunday.
It is Sunday, so it's a day of rest for you.
Yes, that's why God has called in. That was good, Sonny. I had to take that one.
I love it. God's called in, and so he's here, so I like that. And hopefully Tarvin will be giving us a call as well. So I put that on there, on air, God. I love that. That's great. And Tarvin likes the photos, so he's probably going to be calling in here, Bri here, very soon, hopefully. We'll get him up on that. Up and ready to go. So lots of things going on in the sporting world, which is the reason why we're here, sports talk here, to get started for Sunday. And I like days like today as we're getting ready to call the football game. I get geared. I love talking football. I love talking sports right before I go on air. It makes me feel good and gets me ready and gets me pumped. But some news that happened that I thought was what you have in one of your files.
Wow.
Dante Stallworth in a balloon accident yesterday, wide receiver in the NFL, in a balloon accident. I mean, you just don't hear about things like that every single day.
Airhead.
There, scorekeeper.
Yeah, Dante Stallworth will forever be the resident airhead.
Well, you know, normally I'm not a guy that will take a look at an athlete who did what Dante Stallworth did. And if those that don't know the history on Dante Stallworth and his background, he actually went out, had a couple of drinks. And that's really kind of what this whole situation was. Had some drinks at dinner and had maybe – and when they say one few many, that's what happened with Dante Stallworth. He had one too many drinks, and he actually went out and killed I call him, graveyard shift worker as he was going for the bus. Now, granted, he wasn't in the walkway, but still, he should have been able to stop. I don't know if he could have or not, but he killed this gentleman. But
yeah.
Dante Stallworth has done everything right, you know, scorekeeper. Yeah, he killed someone. Yeah, he was out and he was legally over the limit and everything else, but he took care of this family. This family has nothing to worry about anymore. Now, there have been talks that no one's let anybody know, but Dante Stallworth has taken care of this family and has, you know, and I know he's paid for the daughter's college fund already. He's already paid for, and now he's just playing football. And he's keeping a low profile, which is exactly what this guy needs to do.
Yeah, Sonny, I remember when it happened. And we're going to go to your co-host in just a moment. I want to acknowledge him. He is here. But
11 seconds.
You're so right. Yeah, you're so right. He's done everything correct. I remember when he was given the sentence of 24 days, and I believe that was it. He was already out already because he'd already, I think it was time served. And news had already gotten out that he had compensated the family. And
yeah.
Everyone was up in arms, Sonny. And I'm paraphrasing, if I remember correctly, it was the man bought his way out. That's what everyone felt at the time.
Yep.
And it was really disappointing that someone could actually do this, be in the state that they are, and, yeah, well, you know, Sonny, and basically get away with it.
Yeah. And it was one of those things. I remember the whole situation, and I've tried to contact, you know, Dante Stallworth's people. This was one that I did not mind getting rejected on. Dante, even to this day, okay, and this is as recent as 4 months ago when I contacted Dante Stallworth's people, okay, he is still distraught over this whole situation. The happiness that he has sometimes, like maybe flying in a balloon, you know, is, you know, that is something that Dante Stallworth does not do. He's got a very guilty conscience about the whole situation. And, you know, rightfully so, I will put that on him, but he has done everything right. And let's go ahead, since he is here, we have recognized him. And Scorekeeper, will you do the honors, please?
Oh, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, I would do the presidential march, but I will go ahead and do it now. We shall do it. It is the moment.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
But I know he had to go out and get that coffee to get himself going here, even at 11. Cuervo, how you doing, Cuervo?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you this morning?
We're alive and kicking and ready to go. You got your coffee in hand, ready to talk some sports this morning?
Oh, actually, I changed it up today. I've got a nice cold glass of Coca-Cola Classic in my
wow.
hand right now.
Ooh.
So
not even diet.
That's what I'm drinking.
no,
I don't mess with diet.
Hey, I am addicted. I am addicted. I'm a fat guy who loves Diet Coke. Now figure
cool.
that one out. But Dante Stallworth, I mean, you know, I don't know how much of it you have heard and stuff, you know, but Dante Stallworth has done everything right. Yeah, I guess, I don't know if he want to call himself bought out of jail. They sentenced him to 30 days in jail, and he was out in like 24 or something, and I even remember I was up in arms at that time. But even trying to get a hold of Dante Stallworth to this day, he does not want to get into it, and not because he's trying to hide from it. It's more the fact this guy is really, really distraught over the whole situation still, and this is years later, guy. This happened back in 2000, like right at, you know, mid, about 2009, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
it
was
around
that
time. Yeah, it sounds about right. I think you've got us on that. I'll do the research right now, Sonny, and find out exactly when it was.
Yeah. So, you know, Cuervo, I mean, he's done everything right. He's kept his nose clean. He's evidently has taken care of that family and everything, which is probably the right thing for this young man to do. He owes a debt, and that's a debt of life, and that's something that he'll never be able to pay back. But from what I'm hearing, he's doing everything that he can to help that family and make sure that they don't have, you know, the college is already paid for the kids of the family that he kind of destroyed and everything else. But, I mean, he's just doing everything right now, Cuervo.
Absolutely. And, I mean, no disrespect, I'm kind of curious as to what the reason is we're starting. I mean, is it because of the story that just came out about him, about the accident
yeah.
that he had, or?
Yeah. We covered this back in 2009 when it happened, but it just reminded me because, you know, not more than 6 months ago, I was trying to come in contact with Dante Stallworth's people to, you know, talk to him and have him on the show. I really did. I actually am proud of the guy because, you know, we hear about athletes just, you know, after they do something bad, this continue on doing the wrong thing. And we're not hearing that about Dante Stallworth. Matter of fact, we're hearing nothing. Whenever something comes out about Dante Stallworth, it's all positive.
Right. I mean, whether it's, you know, signing with another team or not. But, guys, what I'm saying is, did you hear what happened to him yesterday?
Yeah, the balloon
I don't know if you guys
accident.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. If that's
suffered
the reason that
he
was,
from what I'm hearing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. I've got the story right here. It says he was on a hot air balloon, and it's, you know, pretty bad accident. It's just an accident that happened. You know, it says that he's going to have burns, but other than that, he'll be fine. So that's the reason that we're starting off on the subject of Stallworth, is because of what happened to him yesterday.
Yeah, it was just one of those freak accidents that you hear
mm-hmm.
the the hot air balloon just got caught in some power cables, and he's lucky. It was 4 years ago. My gosh, it was 4 years ago. You got the background
yes.
on that there, scorekeeper?
Yes, I do, ladies and gentlemen. And first of all, I want to welcome everyone to the chat room. Thanks for joining us this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, today is March 17th, 2013, and here it is very quickly. On the morning of March 14th, 2009, a Bentley coupe driven by stalwarts struck and killed a pedestrian at the eastern end of the MacArthur Causeway in Miami Beach, Florida. As we know, Stallworth was headed toward the beach when he hit Mario Reyes, 59, and we all know his blood alcohol content was 0.12, above the nationwide legal limit of 0.08, and apparently police estimated Stallworth was driving about 50 miles per hour in a 40 mile per hour zone. The construction crane operator was trying to catch a bus home after finishing his shift around 7:15 a.m.
Yeah.
And wow. This was, I mean, it was incredibly eerie, gentlemen, when I said, Sonny, I'll go find this. And I looked it up. I had it 5 seconds later, and I'm like, it was exactly 4 years ago today. Oh, my
wow.
goodness.
Yeah. That's crazy. Wow. That's kind of one of those spooky things there, Cuervo.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is a coincidence. I mean, yeah. But we've seen some weird stuff happen in the past.
Yep. So I did start off with that because, you know, I don't think the guy gets a lot of credit. And frankly, should he get a lot of credit? Probably not. But he is quiet. I mean, we don't hear about Dante Stallworth. He does everything right, and I got to give him the props. And, yeah, he was over the legal limit, 0.8, and he goes to 0.12. And so it's one of those things. I don't know if it was because he had a few too many, you know, or whatever, but at least something as good has come from that story. So I'm somewhat happy about what's going on there. But lots of news going on in the NFL. Cuervo, there's got to be something. You know, the Pats re-sign Talib Arrington, and they get – I'm going to tell you right now, I think they got a guy, and yes, he may be old, but when they picked up the safety Wilson from the Cardinals, I think that – The Patriots are trying to get that defense ready to rock and roll for the 2013-2014 season.
Oh, without a doubt, sir. I mean, that's the one thing that they lacked was that deep ball play. And, you know, I mean, there are rumors going around that New England was going after Ed Reed. And, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that would have made a lot of sense. However, they went with somebody a little bit younger from what I remember in Adrian Wilson. 33
years old.
And, I mean, Arizona's got to be like, damn, we really missed out on an opportunity to keep a key player on that defense over there in Arizona. But, you know, it's done. He's a Patriot now, and I think he's going to bring a lot of – he's going to contribute a lot to that defense.
Definitely. You know, Adrian Wilson, 12 seasons as an Arizona Cardinal, 5 Pro Bowls and 27 interceptions and 25 and a half sacks in 181 career games. 162 of those were starts. So, I think it's a good pickup. I always liked Adrian Wilson. He was a guy that, year in, year out, you know, even as bad as the Cardinals were, he wasn't too bad. So that was always a good thing. As a Cardinal fan, watching this guy kind of do what he's been doing over the years, I thought it was very, very good. So it was huge. So some other news over in New York. Kevin Falk, he gets the sign over as the kicker for the Jets again. Kevin Falk is one of these guys. I don't have a lot of opinion about kickers, so I'll throw it over to the scorekeeper. Kevin Falk, you know, re-signs with the Jets. Anything really, do we even like this, or, you know, he's a kicker, we don't care?
Well, Sonny, kickers, punters, that stuff actually appeals to me because that's special teams, because if I were to make a team, it would probably be special left bench. So I'm providing water to the special teams guys, so I pay attention to these guys. Sonny, the kicker is just fine. It's a good one. He's not old. He's still young, Sonny, relatively speaking. And it's just, you know what? That's their guy, and they're sticking with him. No big deal on that. How much was the deal that they signed him for, Sonny? It wasn't exceptional.
Probably not. He's a kicker.
No. Yeah, it wasn't exceptional, and it's just fine. I mean, look, who are the best kickers right now in the league? I remember, guys, in the 80s and early 90s, kickers and punters were incredibly famous. There were guys, remember Reggie Roby with Miami?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember Cuervo, how he would let the ball drop and he would just boom it? Remember the hang time meter they had on that guy? I mean, that guy was unbelievable. But there were other guys there. You had Anderson, and just to name a few, and oh, let's go back to Miami. The place kicker, Ua Von Schoeman. Oh, that guy, that poor guy. Blew so many field goals, but I think he hit them all in the Super Bowl, but then he was gone. You know, Sonny, a place kicker is supposed to come in and just do what he's supposed to do. My favorite guys right now, believe it or not, are Sebastian Janikowski and the punter for the Raiders. Didn't he average 50 yards a punt this last season?
I thought it was 51.3. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was 51 point something, and I think it's 51.3.
Isn't that a record?
Yeah,
Isn't that an NFL record?
I don't know if it is a record more so than the fact that it's hard to average those kind of kicks, especially because, you know, depending on what stat you look at, even the returns count against you. So, one of those kind of things.
Yeah, that's impressive, guys. Sebastian Janikowski and Shane Lechler. Wow. Those guys, you know, it's a shame. Because if those guys were on other teams, could you imagine how difficult they would be to beat? Think about that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Too bad that's the Raider team.
I mean, Cuervo, do we care about kickers? I mean, it's obvious we don't. We don't have any kickers in the Hall of Fame. You know, so the fact of the matter is, yeah, no kickers in the Hall of Fame, right? Or am I mistaken?
Morton's not in there?
No, no kickers. No. No kickers are in the. I would bet 99% of my
Ray Guy.
Yeah, Ray Guy not in there. Nope.
Carlos Zendejas?
Nope.
You guys remember Carlos Zendejas, right?
I remember. I remember the name.
No,
I can't remember it off the top of my head, but I remember the name. When you say Zendejas, I think of the other one, the drunk.
You know, actually, there were quite
four or five Zendejas.
Yeah, there were quite a few in that family, and they were all good kickers.
Yeah, they're all good kickers.
Yep, no one is in the Hall of Fame.
Nope, no kickers in the NFL Hall of Fame. Am I wrong, Cuervo? I mean, I think I'm right because I think they're battling to try to get Ray Guy in.
Oh, yeah. I hear it every year, too. I mean, kickers and punters, they don't get in. They don't even get close, to be honest with you. That is correct, though. There's no kickers, no punters. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't think there's even any special teams players, period, in the NFL Hall of Fame. It's all
because I think Steve Kasker should be in there, yeah.
Without a doubt, yeah. That's another name I know that people say that should be in, and he's not.
So, I love the fact that, I mean, you know, the controversies are everywhere, and, and the kickers are being left out.
I am shocked. Sonny, forgive me a moment. I'm going to return in a little bit, gentlemen. I have to take care of some business right now. Sonny, and Cuervo, I'll tell you guys what happened yesterday. We received some bad news in the family. I don't want to go ahead and air it out right now, but I got to take care of something, and I'll be back. Okay, guys?
Well, if for some reason you can't, don't worry about it, and don't worry about that game. You take care of business first because I can handle the game if need be.
Gentlemen, I will send you a text message. I mean, I'll send you a message on air. I'll be back, guys.
All right, very good. All right, so we'll get back scorekeeper here, and hopefully we'll get and maybe we'll get Brian to call in. I know he's already commented on the picture in Facebook. Did you see the picture? Oh, God has left the building.
No, I'm not familiar with that son.
Yeah, I put the I put a picture up on my Facebook for the switchboard. God had called in, and that was actually scorekeeper. He put his name as God. I thought that was funny. Anyway, so some interesting thing. The Patriots, they go ahead, they get rid of Brandon Lloyd. Are you surprised about that move as far as the Patriots were concerned? That's what we did not talk about when we were talking about the Pats.
You know, a little bit. And the reason I'm surprised with it is because of the fact of what happened to Wes Welker. Now, you look at New England, you say, well, who's Tom Brady going to throw the football to? Now, I mean, he's got his tight end. However, when you need a deep ball, who's going to be that guy that goes down there and catches that ball? Are you really going to depend on Danny Amendola to do that? He's a good player. I just don't think he's that deep threat that the Patriots need in order to make it to, you know, get back to the Super Bowl again. So, yeah, I'm a little surprised that Brandon Lloyd got released.
I'm surprised that when Amendola, everybody is talking, this guy can't stay healthy to save his life. Now, I love his passion because if you remember the last time he got hurt, he was walking back to get looked at, and he just whipped that helmet. I love that kind of passion in a player. He was so angry that he got hurt and couldn't get back into the game. So when I saw that, I thought that that was something that impressed me, not because of the fact that he's one of these, you know, great passionate dudes. It's more of that he can show it when he needs to. His frustration was that right there. And after coming back from injury, he gets hurt again. It kind of tells a story about a person, I think, Cuervo, when you see that kind of emotion at that time, you know, come out. And I don't think he even knew there was a camera there. I think if he knew there was a camera there, he probably wouldn't have whipped that helmet as hard as he did or at all. So I think it's a good, you know, I think the guy's passionate, but I agree with you, Cuervo. I don't know how much of a deep threat this guy is. And then second of all, his health has got to be a major issue. And it's probably somewhere in the contract that he's got to remain healthy in order to get some big monies.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of times bonuses, you know, they depend on how many catches you get, how many, you know, yards receiving you get, how many touchdowns do you make the Pro Bowl. You know, 100-yard games, I'm sure, is part of the contract. So there's a lot of little incentives that, wide receivers get in their contract, I'm sure. So the question is he going to stay healthy enough to hit any of those incentives? You're absolutely right.
Yeah, so there's lots of things going on there. So, and some more news, as you know, there's been signings and signings. Justin Forsett and three other players have signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've watched Justin Forsett when I was covering the Seattle Seahawks about 4 years ago. Okay, when I was looking at this guy and watching it, I thought this guy could be the next big thing, but this guy was not a guy that could get over the hump. For some reason, this guy just could not get it done or to go ahead and take the reins as the starter up in Seattle. He just couldn't get the job done. Now, he's headed down to Jacksonville where he's going to back up Maurice Jones-Drew. I think this is a perfect role for a Justin Forsett, especially with the fact of the matter is that you never know when Maurice Jones-Drew can go down with injury as well.
Absolutely, and like you said, it's a good opportunity for Forsett to bring his career back. I mean, he's going to get, you know, I think he's going to get quite a bit of carries down there. Even though NJD is the guy, people are starting to question, is he, you know, a guy that can give you 25 to 30 carries anymore because
right.
of his health. So, you know, you got to have that guy that can get you third and fives, get you third and fours, and Forsett, I mean, he's still pretty young, Sonny, in my opinion, and I think he's a guy that can you know, step in there and make some things happen.
Yep, I think there's something to be said about knowing your role, and you know, if you know your role and you are able to do what you're supposed to do when that time comes up. That's what a role player does. I mean, we could talk about role players in basketball all day long, but this is exactly what he is set to do. So I think that's a good signing down over there for Jacksonville to grab up a Justin Forsett to back up over there. Now over in Baltimore go ahead and grab up Cowboys defensive end Marcus Spears, who spent time obviously with Dallas, and he is happy to be a Raven. According to the deal, $3.5 million for Spears, 8 season with the Dallas Cowboys. Started 89 of 119 games. I don't know. I've always liked this guy. I always liked the potential of the guy, but I think as far as his career is concerned, this is the best thing that could happen to him. But the question is, when you look at the Ravens, is this the right signing for the Ravens?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say no, Sonny.
I am too.
After Spears' first 3 to 4 years, never heard from the guy again. I mean, and you can't blame it on DeMarcus Ware. I mean, the guy plays a totally different position. So what happened to Spears? The guy, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, you would know better than I do. I think the guy had a lot of injuries or he was just underperforming. But I know I never heard from him after his first 3 to 4 seasons. And,
yeah, he's been 8 seasons with the Dallas Cowboys. And here's the thing. I think DeMarcus Spears was not in the type of defense that could make him successful. Never mind. It's the Dallas Cowboys, okay? Those guys bailing from the Dallas Cowboys right and left, number one, because they know Jerry Jones isn't going to give them the money, and second of all, some of them just don't even need to be on the football team. DeMarcus Spears was going to be paid, I think it was $6.7 million to play this year, so the Dallas Cowboys said, no, that's not happening. For him, to sign with the Ravens for his career is going to be good. But I think the Ravens need something else. I mean, yes, they've got some guys, but I think they need more of impact players. And when I think about impact players for the Ravens, I don't think Marcus Spears.
Yeah, I don't either, Sonny. I mean, he's not an impact player, and I just don't understand where the Ravens are going. It's like I mentioned yesterday on Sports Talk with the guys, it kind of has that, Florida Marlins feeling to it. You win a championship, and then you just completely let the team fall apart. And, with the exception of Ray Lewis, they just kind of, let everybody on the team just go. I don't know how else to explain it. They just said, you know what? You're gone, you're gone, you're gone. Joe Flacco, we're keeping you. Everybody else can go ahead and look for employment somewhere else. And I just think that's the wrong message that you're sending to your franchise. Hey, we won our ring. We don't care what happens next year.
Yeah, when I look at what's going on over there with them, I like the management over in Baltimore. I really do. There's something to be said about having a guy that has been there for as long as his name just slipped my head. The player personnel dude over there. It's I'll get it here in a minute. But anyway, that guy's been there forever. He played the game, and he's done a good job. So I want to trust the guy. I want to trust what he's doing is right, and so I'm going to hold back judgment on it because when I look at the whole situation. We are just now starting. Marcus Spears, can be a good player if he gets the right kind of motivation. So maybe they saw something in Spears that we're not seeing down in Dallas. Okay, I know Dallas Cowboys fans like him, but really, when you look at it, he's not the guy that you write home to mama about, or just glad that you signed this guy. I mean, you're glad he's on his team. In other words, that guy's replaceable here in Dallas. Take away from that, if he gets in that good situation over in Baltimore, I think that's a situation that will help his career. But helping the Baltimore Ravens, I don't know. And here's one of the things, and I'm gonna disagree with you a little bit. I don't think this really has anything to do with the fact that it's Joe Flacco signing the contract. You remember, let's just put it this way. This year, I mean, his contract's only $20 million, okay? There we go. And I guess saying $20 million is kind of, you know, it's a lot of money. I'm not saying that it's not. But in the terms of the NFL and elite quarterbacks, I mean, Peyton Manning's making $20 million, okay? But they're not holding back on trying to find people over there, except Doomerville, which we'll get to in a second. If they find the guy that they want, they're going to put the money out there. Same thing with Baltimore. I think it's the same. I don't think it's the fact that Joe Flacco has taken the money and now they're having problems signing people. I don't think that that's the case. I think it's a matter of that there's some players on that football team that are aging, and they've got to make some serious decisions on whether or not they want Ed Reed back at the price that he's supposed to get paid for the contract, and some of the other players. So bring in fresh meat. I think what the Ravens think, and you can see what you think. You can bring anybody in there. Okay, they got good coaching down there on that defensive side of the ball. Maybe they can get the best of a Spears to make him something that they stole away from the Cowboys. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I could see that, you know, getting younger and things like that and whatnot. I think Ozzie Newsome is who you were trying to think of.
Newsome,
is
yeah,
the guy
it.
Over there,
yep.
You know, in Baltimore. But it's... You know, we really don't know, Sonny. We have to wait and see until after the fact. I mean, they may have something up their sleeve in the draft. They may be one of them teams that trade up and get themselves an impact, defensive-type player, and that's why they've created this cap space. And, you know, and I'm not saying that – let me make this clear, Sonny. I don't know, maybe I said it wrong yesterday. I'm not saying that Joe Flacco is the reason these guys aren't re-signing, but what I am saying is that his contract is the reason some of these guys aren't coming back, because they just don't have the space to bring them back. And these are you know, big-time players. You know, Ellerbe was going to look for a big contract. Kruger was going to want that big contract. And they went and they found it in other places. So, I'm not saying Flacco is the person, but Flacco's contract, that had a lot to do with it.
It's real interesting, the people's look at Joe Flacco and the situation there. I find it interesting. I'm just going to respectfully disagree, because you just never know that whole situation on how it looks, you know, as far as players that are flying away. And, I mean, I don't know if Ed Reed could leave that team and then end up re-signing them afterwards and stuff like that. That part, I know a little bit about some of the stuff, but, you know, I don't know. Ed Reed may want to stay there in Baltimore, but just as I said yesterday over on Sports Talk with the guys, when was the last time we had a repeat Super Bowl winner?
Oh, gosh, it's been, what, 10 years now when New England did it, 2004, 2005?
Yeah, it just doesn't happen. And that's, you know, and I get the strategy. I mean, Vegas loves people who want to put a bet on a team to repeat a Super Bowl champions. They love it. You know, it just, you know. And then sometimes making it to the Super Bowl the next year, that's another one. I haven't looked up those stats, but it's nice to see some differences, you know, different teams in there. Baltimore was there, and I liked that whole situation. San Francisco, we haven't seen San Francisco in God knows how long, what, 15 years or so? So, you know, it's nice to see new faces. So it'll be interesting to see where Ed Reed would take his talents, or if he'd stay there in Baltimore. You know, if he wants another shot at a ring, a realistic shot at the other ring, you know, odds tell you that it's not with the same football team. And, you know, as much as they're paying, you know, the quarterback there, you know, I think they would probably hope that would happen. But I don't see Baltimore repeating, but I see Baltimore having a good football year. So we have to find out. But we were talking about teams that are spending money, like, you know, with $20 million in Peyton Manning over in Denver. That whole situation with Elvis Doomerville, they missed the deadline, so he's released by the Broncos. Now, conspiracy couch is all over this, okay? Conspiracy couch is all over this because there's a guy in charge over there that has a little ego. We all know it's, you know, John Elway can be the biggest jerk in the NFL as far as ownership and everything else. You know, something tells me that after he wanted to re-sign and renegotiate with 25 minutes left to go before the deadline, I think this was a drop of the ball, and I think it was a fumble by John Elway, and I think it was done on purpose, not re-signing Elvis Dumervil. What's your look at as far as Elvis Dumervil? Now he is a free agent, and people are free to grab him up.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing, Sonny, you know, that the agents, between the agent and Dumervil himself, they purposely didn't get the paperwork in time. They just felt that, you know what, maybe we can find a better situation on another team. And there were rumors going around, Sonny, if you remember, that they were thinking about either trading Dumervil away or releasing him in the first place.
Yep.
So I think they took a step back. They said, hold on a second. You know, why are we going to re-sign with a team that wanted to release you anyways? Well, let's quote unquote, you know, forget or accidentally not get the paperwork in on time. Let's go find somewhere else to go sign. And
wow.
I'll be honest with you, you know, to just throw a team out there right now that he could probably go and make an impact. The team we were just talking about 3 minutes ago.
Elvis
Dumervil in the Baltimore Ravens uniform.
Okay. Yeah. Baltimore Ravens. So I was thinking just, you know, keep it kind of close. It's a short airline heading over to the 49ers. I mean, a guy like Elvis Dumervil the 49ers have already got a good defense. Adding more, and the 49ers have been busy, by the way, and we'll get to those guys here in a moment. They've been busy here in this offseason, adding more to it. Matter of fact, let's just talk about the 49ers. The 49ers are making an impact, I think, in free agency so far this year, Corvo.
Yeah, you know, they've made some surprising moves. I didn't think they were going to let Deshaun Golson go, but they did. However, they replace him with Craig Dahl at safety. Now, I know the name. I can't remember what team he played for.
You might be mixing him up with Harvey Dahl.
No. It says here, safety Craig Dahl.
No, I know. I'm just saying you might be mixing the name with Harvey Dahl. He was an offensive lineman for the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay.
And the St. Louis Rams, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah.
I don't know. But I don't know. Are you playing a joke on me, Sonny?
No, he's a real guy. I love Harvey Dahl. He's one of my...
No, I know that.
When I saw the thing, it just said Dahl signs with the 49ers. I was like, how did Harvey Dahl sign with the 49ers? I thought he was retired.
Yeah, no. I think he's he's still retired, but
yep.
I'm reading
Craig
it right
Dahl.
Here under NFL transactions. Yeah, it says Craig Dahl, and I'm trying to remember where he played before
played for the Giants. He is an undrafted defensive back out of North Dakota State, and he got into the NFL in 2007 with the Giants, and he had 4 interceptions, 3 sacks, and 70 appearances with the New York and St. Louis. That's the reason why I mix up with Harvey Dahl also played for St. Louis. So that's the reason why my brain mixes with this guy. But last he played was in St. Louis.
Okay, so there you go. It still surprises me, though, to let a guy like Golson go.
Yeah.
That surprises me. It really does. Has he signed with somebody else now? Being Golson, I'm not sure.
I don't think he has signed yet.
Okay. Actually, you know what? I got it right here. Deshaun Golson. He is now a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Got it. Thank you.
So that's a good signing. Now that's a good signing for Tampa Bay. You get Golson on one side. You have the second year guy Mark Barron on the other side. That's a good 1-2 safety combo, in my opinion. So, I mean, Tampa Bay's moving in the right direction. Let's put it that way. As far
definitely.
As you know, with moves like that, that's a great signing for the Bucs.
So, So the 49ers, they get let Alex Smith go, but they grab up Anquan Boldin for a sixth round. I think that's a pretty good deal for him. I mean, in reality, if you think about Anquan Boldin, I mean, how many sixth-round draft picks actually make the team? You know, so I think that's a pretty damn good deal for the 49ers in reality. And then they get Glenn Dorsey and Scuda and Joe Hastings. So I think that's kind of huge. They also release David Akers and Mario Manningham. He takes a pay cut because of the non-production of last year to stay on that football team. So interesting things that are going to be going on. Yeah, Golson over to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Ricky Jean Francis, 4 years with the Colts, so they lose him. They also lose Isaac Spinaga with the Eagles. Then Delanie Walker, he goes to the Titans. Ted Ginn Jens, he's visited with the Bengals, but the 49ers are likely to be looking at Kyle Williams as the returner for next year. So that, I think Ginn is probably being forced out right now. Leonard Davis, he's probably going to be replaced by Joe Looney. Tavares Golden for the 49ers. They don't have any rush to bring him back. I think they'll bring him back. And then Clark Hagans, he's unlikely to return because of Harrelson should be back for them next year. So, you know, the 49ers, I think they've done a lot of stuff, and they've talked to a lot of people. If I'm not mistaken, they've talked to Joe Abraham. They've talked to Asamoah as well, Charles Woodson, has also visited with them as well. So interesting things that are going on. The 49ers are not looking to back down off of that Super Bowl appearance. They're looking to get there again, and they're looking to win it.
Oh, absolutely. And I think with some of the moves that they've made, I think they could definitely get back there. And, I mean, let's face it, the NFC is not as strong as the AFC. It's not as open. So I could definitely see San Francisco getting back next year.
Oh, I do too. And but really, it's all up on the quarterback. I mean, and they've got a lot of confidence in Colin Kaepernick. And I'm wondering what they're going to do in the backup situation. And maybe I missed something. I don't know if they signed anybody. But they really need to get a veteran backup quarterback for Colin Kaepernick in case he goes down. This guy runs with the football. And they're not going to take that out of his – I'm going to tell you right now, Harbaugh will say, whenever you want to run, run. He's not going to tell him not to run. And I think that's the reason why – they didn't tell him to stop running last year is because they had Alex Smith there. So now if they want to continue with that same mentality, they need a quality backup over in San Francisco right now.
Absolutely. And there's some, you know, I'm not going to say great, but there's some good, you know, quarterbacks out there that are still available. And if you don't want that veteran guy, I think they could definitely get a guy in the draft. I mean, like I said, they're picking, I think, 30th or 31st, depending on how many, what is it, 32 teams in the NFL. So they're 31. And I think at 31, I think they could get themselves a decent quarterback because, you know, I'm going to say there's going to probably be two, maybe three that gets taken in the first round before San Francisco picks, so they could definitely draft somebody. I think they should go veteran, however.
Yes.
The option to draft someone is there as well.
Definitely. And let me do this.
Oh, man. I'm out of it for a little while, and everyone has delusions of grandeur.
It is God. He is back. It is Scorekeeper. Take over the show. I have to take this call, okay?
Thank you, Sonny. Hey, Cuervo. I'm going to switch gears just a little bit. Hey, Cuervo, are you familiar with what is going on with Steubenville? Did you guys already talk about that?
No, we did not. Please, enlighten me.
Okay, very quickly. Apparently, this is what happened this morning. The verdicts have been read,
and two Steubenville High School football players accused of raping an allegedly drugged 16-year-old girl were found guilty by an Ohio judge on Sunday. Judge Thomas Lipps announced his decision after reviewing evidence presented over 4 days of testimony in the case against 17-year-old Trent Mays and 16-year-old Malik Richmond, who were tried as juveniles. The victim was not in the courtroom when the ruling was read, and, of course, Mays was also found guilty of disseminating a nude photo of a minor. So they've been found guilty in Ohio. This is a big deal, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, they are juveniles, and they were tried as such, but this is a situation where juveniles were doing something to other juveniles, and it's really surprising. Apparently, there were witnesses that actually admitted to seeing this, and that was it, Cuervo. It was done. They were found guilty after 4 days.
Good. Good, and I hope the kids get what they deserved. Bottom line.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it is, a juvenile case, and there's other stuff that's going to go on with that. But I got to tell you, Cuervo, there is a lot of stuff going on this morning. I hope they get what they deserve, too. If there are witnesses actually attesting to that, these parties that these kids go to, not all parties are bad, but it's just unbelievable that there are certain places that you can go that you know there's going to be trouble. And that's the sad thing, dude. It's like these kids are imitating their role models, huh, Cuervo?
Yeah, pretty much. You're right about that. I mean,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've got the story right here. Actually, I see it right here. This is pretty disturbing, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's very disturbing, and I'm really happy that it's done. I'm sure the appeals are going to fly. There's actually a quote there, and I'm sorry, I did not quote the CNN article, and that's where I'm getting it from right now, not ESPN, is that the father already told his son Malik, he says, look, you got to be strong in God. He will get you through this. And hopefully these kids, I mean, I'm sorry, they are kids. They've learned a hard lesson. Mm-hmm. The girl suffered. It's never going to leave her. And that's something that was bringing to mind about that Dante Stallworth thing. I don't want to exactly revisit it, but it's never going to leave the victim. It's just not. And I know we're going to be following that story, and we're going to see what's going to happen. Did you hear? Doomerville fired his agent?
Yeah, that one we talked about just a little while ago.
Okay.
You know, between myself and Sonny both, we are in the belief that, it wasn't an accident that happened. I'll just put it that way. So, we're under the belief that it was done on purpose. Because, you know, we talked about it, scorekeeper. We were like, you know, there were rumors going around before the season ended that the Broncos were thinking about releasing this guy. And before they were supposed to fax in the signed contract, I'm sure his agent, you know, him and his agent looked at each other and said, wait a minute, why are we going to re-sign with a team that wanted that's thinking about letting us go? You know, we can, it's just like the Wes Welker thing. That's the number one reason why he left, because he felt underappreciated in New England. Now, the numbers don't show that. However, when you look at it from a national standpoint, as far as the way people were talking about the, you know, how much they really value Welker, they said to themselves, you know what, I'm better off somewhere else. So now you got Wes Welker in Denver with Peyton Manning, and I believe that Doomerville will wind up becoming a Baltimore Raven because of all the losses that they've had already on defense with a lot of their main players. I think he could wind up in a Ravens uniform, and I think he can make a really big impact on that defense.
You know, Cuervo, I haven't given that some thought. I like that. I had not given that thought. That's a good one. Hopefully it'll happen. You know, this whole thing with Wes Welker, and we have been talking about it for several days now. You know what? It's good. Dude, You know what's going on. Don't cry about it. You're still in good shape. You're still in good age. Just go. Go somewhere else for your health and go and play ball. If they don't like you where you are, get the hell out, right, dude?
Exactly. And, you know, that's the nature of the business. You know, instead of crying over spilt milk, like they say, go out there and find you a fresh new team to, continue your career with. And, I mean, that's what Wes Welker did. You know, I'm sure inside he felt like, man, you know, New England, I'm sure they like me and everything, but I don't think they really appreciate my services, so I'm just going to move on. And that's exactly what they did. And, see, I think New England got burnt on the deal, and I'm going to tell you why, because, like I said, the numbers don't show scorekeeper that they don't appreciate him, they don't value him, but there's a reason they beefed his numbers up to try and get value for maybe a possible trade or something like that. Instead, they wrote it out until free agency, and the Patriots wind up getting nothing in return.
Yeah, nothing in return. Let me tell you, I think laying the cards out on the table, Cuervo, I think every team other than the Patriots would love to have Wes Welker on their receiving core.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's not a number one type of guy.
No.
As scorekeeper, and everybody knows that. However, what he does do is he takes pressure off of your number one guy. I think he's so good that you could probably even go as far as putting him in places like Detroit with Calvin Johnson or Houston with Andre Johnson, and he would take a lot of double teams away from those guys and make those number one guys even better. And what I mean by that is stats-wise, it would open up things for those guys so much more because of a guy like Welker. So in that way, yeah, he's definitely valuable. And you're going to see it with the Broncos. You know, Demaryius Thomas, he's going to be open in situations where you're like, what happened to the defense on that play? How come nobody covered this guy deep? Or how come nobody covered him that 15-yard post route? Or nobody covered him in the corner of the end zone? It's because of guys like Welker that sometimes you pay attention to a little too much, and it takes pressure off of those outside guys.
You know, I think you've seen the movie, The Replacement, with Keanu Reeves. You've seen that one, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, I've seen that one.
and I think I've made this line, I've used this line before on air, and it's true. Wes Welker is the epitome of when Gene Hackman is telling these guys, the deal is done. It's over. This is your last game. There is no tomorrow for you, guys. So you know what that makes you, guys? It makes you dangerous. And I think that's what Wes Welker brings to a team. He brings that. It makes you dangerous because with him, the other guys get to be not good, but damn good.
Exactly. And that's what he did in New England. If they still had Randy Moss they had 3-4 years ago, I mean, you saw it. The first year that Moss and Welker got to New England with Tom Brady, they broke records. So,
yeah.
I mean, if he was to go to another team like that again, like I said, like the Detroit Lions, where, you got Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford there, he's going to put up big. Now, Matthew Stafford would have an MVP-type season if Wes Welker was to go to the Detroit Lions, if he would have went there. So that's the type of impact that he has. He just creates opportunities for other guys.
Yeah, creates opportunities. You know, it's very rare that I would steal the phrase from, I'm not sure if you use it, or maybe you have, but I think Couch Potato has. I may have a man crush on Wes Welker. You know, I didn't think about that, but I probably do. The only other one that I probably would have had one on was Don Mattingly, by far and away one of my favorite baseball players. But, Cuervo, I want to I want to break a little bit of news right now. We have breaking news out of Los Angeles. I think you may know. We have the marathon over here, and there's already news. Alexandra Duliba of Belarus wins the 28th Los Angeles Marathon. Apparently, she won her professional debut with an unofficial time of 2 hours, 26 minutes, and 8 seconds. She won $75,000, including a $50,000 gender challenge bonus when she finished ahead of the men's leaders. Wow. And
wow.
Eric, and I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name because I just haven't heard of him before. It's M-O-S-E. It could be Mose, Muse. But Eric Mose of Kenya finished first among the men with a time of 2 hours and 9 minutes and 43 seconds. So congratulations to them, ladies and gentlemen. It's a big deal here in Los Angeles. It's a traffic nightmare on the west side.
Oh, God, I can imagine that. And I've been in L.A. when the marathon has gone on before, and you're right. It's like a zoo out there.
Oh, yeah, and people thought New York was a zoo. Well, that time's over. It's a zoo right now. So it's a good thing. I live in the southeast corner of Los Angeles. That's not too bad. But over in the west side, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, it's the 28th year, which even shocked me. 28 years of the LA Marathon? I mean, I know it's been going on for a little bit, but I don't think it was 28 years. It now, they have, like, the best course ever. It starts in Dodger Stadium and heads all the way to Santa Monica. It's a nice run, and it goes through some really nice parts of LA. And it is a stunning success. Frank McCourt, ladies and gentlemen, still owns the LA Marathon. So Frank McCourt is not gone from the LA scene yet.
We all thought he was after that whole deal with the Dodgers and everything, but he still has his little spot in Los Angeles.
Yep,
so he's not gone yet.
He's a heck of a hanger-on. And speaking of a hanger-on, I am here as it's Cuervo. We are now in the second hour of the program. It's midday over in the Cuervo, and it's 10 a.m. in the morning for me out here. We're having a beautiful day, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, Couch Potato had to step away. There's a deal with his family. I'm not going to get into details. So we are expecting Couch Potato back. I guess it's the weekend for families, right, Cuervo? I did receive news. I didn't want to just say it earlier. I just didn't want to get around to it. But my family has suffered a loss on my wife's side of the family. Our cousin, she was about my age, a bit younger. She passed away 3 or 4 days ago in Mexico, and we just found out yesterday. We had gone to visit a friend. His son was having a birthday party, and we were right there, dude, in East Los Angeles at about 5 o'clock, 5:30, and the call came in, and she was told just as we were arriving. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, the girls, you know, they were okay. Myself, dude, I'm fine. But my wife took it incredibly hard, and you know what? She went to our vehicle for a little while, stayed there. A few people saw. They want to know what was going on, and I told them, and she came back. Oh, my God, Cuervo. She was incredible. You really couldn't tell. I mean, you could see her eyes that they were on the red side, but she was fine. And when she told me it was time to go, we left. But no one could tell anything that happened. I was both full of admiration of her and also bummed because she didn't want to leave for the girls. I was really surprised at that, but yeah. So I just want to get that out there, and I want to thank you for your thoughts, Cuervo. I do appreciate it. Her name was Veronica.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She suffered some sort of I don't know the entire story, but she suffered some sort of injury at birth, and she was disabled from birth. And so there were all these difficulties in her care, but she was a beautiful soul. And she, even though she could not communicate with us, she was able to communicate with us. And she lived a difficult life, and she left us very young, and I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry for my wife and her parents, of course.
I'm so sorry for their loss, and I know we'll be seeing them soon. But be that as it may, I hope everything is going well with Couch Potato, and I hope everything is going well with everyone in the family as well, for you too, Cuervo.
So, sorry I had to air that out, buddy. Where do you want to take us?
Oh, no, don't worry about it, scorekeeper. I mean, you know, there's life, and there's, you know, I mean, there, you know, everybody has real life situations, so don't feel bad about it. But, you know, I think we hit a lot of the NFL stuff. I don't know if, you know, if you're you've been following free agency a lot lately. I don't know, is there any signings or even people that would let go that surprises you a little bit, or is everything that's happened so far you kind of expected it?
I'm genuinely surprised. Can we, and I need your help on this because I know you know the players, because I'm a bit lost right now, so I'm going to use that crutch. I've got things on my mind. But I'm a bit surprised that the Raiders let go of you guys, and I think they let go of one of their running backs, right? He's one of my favorite. Oh, no, the receiver, Bay, right? They let him go.
They did. They let Hayward Bay go.
Wow.
They also let Michael Huff go, the safety.
So yeah.
That's two guys that are no longer Oakland Raiders. And
if I,
you're right.
I'm
I mean,
sorry.
it does surprise us a little bit. So that
and
was a little, that was kind of
guys,
a surprise.
Yeah, these guys were high number, or they might have been number ones for the team. They were high draft picks. And if I'm not mistaken, these were the picks from Al Davis, right, who always had a need for speed.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, to answer your question, yes. They were both first-round draft picks. Both of them were.
I'm really
so
surprised. I know there were questions about Demaryius Bay, Hayward Bay, but I thought he'd gotten past that, and I thought he was a decent receiver. Probably not the one they were hoping for, but I was stunned. And then Huff as well. I mean, teams do this after they win championships, but what are they doing? They're blowing up the team, which was, could you even call them a team?
Oh, I mean, you know, they've got a lot of work to do. And, I mean, no disrespect, you know, to the dead. However, Al Davis, in my opinion, made some mistakes. He's made some mistakes in recent past. So it's time to correct those mistakes now and get the Raiders back to where they were in the John Madden days and the glory days, so to speak.
So just out of curiosity then, Cuervo, would you say that these guys were mistakes because they were drafted so high? Because I remember when the drafts, or, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but people were generally surprised that these guys were drafted so high. But, okay, they were drafted so high, yes. And ignore the fact that they were, well, I guess you can ignore the fact that they were released. Yeah. I mean, were they really that much of a mistake, both of them, would you say?
I would say, I don't think Huff was a mistake. I definitely feel that Hayward Bay was, because if you remember that year in the draft, scorekeeper, the Oakland Raiders had a chance to get a guy like Michael Crabtree, who's in San Francisco now. And they passed up on him just because of the fact that Hayward Bay ran a faster 40-yard time in the combine than Crabtree did. So they went with Hayward Bay instead. Now, I'm not saying Hayward Bay was like a projected fifth-round guy. No, he was a first, maybe fall-down-to-second-round guy. However, when it was – and I remember clearly, when it was the Raiders' turn to pick, I was sold. I was like, okay, they're about to get Michael Crabtree right now. And when they grabbed up Hayward Bay instead, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that they went with him over Michael Crabtree.
When they did that, all of the war rooms on all of the teams, they went into disarray then, right? Because they were stunned.
Absolutely.
That Crabtree was still available. Wow.
Yeah. That's yeah, I guess so, Cuervo. And I appreciate you having a conversation with me right now about that.
you know, I kind of realized it when I said it out loud. I'm like, well, yeah, I guess you can't ignore the fact that we're released. So,
yeah,
is Hayward Bay going to be picked up by someone else?
As of right now, I haven't heard any teams interested in him. Not to say that it's not going to happen. As of right now, though, no teams that I've heard about. So he may wind up there's a couple places I could think of that he might wind up going to, but it all depends. We'll just have to see how this thing plays out. I mean, New England lost a lot at the wide receiver position. The Arizona Cardinals don't have a whole lot there to begin with. So those are a couple of places I think that he could go to. And even though the Minnesota Vikings signed Greg Jennings, they really don't have anybody else besides that. So you could see him in a Minnesota Vikings uniform. So there's a couple of places he could go.
Okay, fair enough. Appreciate that. I'm still surprised by the trade to Seattle yesterday when I found out about it. I guess it was Harvin, right?
Yes, Percy Harvin, yeah. He was traded to Seattle, I think, the day of when free agency started, or it might have been right before. I can't remember now.
Yeah, I was genuinely surprised at that one. I mean, there's been a lot of stuff going on right now, but that's the one that surprised me the most. And look, give it to Seattle. Their thinking is that they're going to be competitive. And they're making a trade to stay competitive. And I don't know, Corvo, about you, but when you're a fan, when your team is trying, that's good stuff, dude. And I like that for Seattle fans.
Absolutely. And you know, their goal is to be able to compete with San Francisco this year, because San Francisco is the class of the NFC now. I mean, they made the Super Bowl last year, and they're only getting better with some of the guys that they've signed. They trade for Anquan Boldin. So they're only going to get better, and Seattle has to find ways to stay with them, or else it's going to be a landslide. And I think Seattle's doing a good job.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know if you have another one that you want to go to, but I want to go back to Miami, you know, the home of Reggie Roby. Their quarterback out there, Corvo. I have a host here on NDB Media. As you know, the ramblings of a diehard sports fan, Eli Gray. He's a big Miami fan, and I love his commentary. He's doing a lot of stuff with it, and he always has to defend the Miami quarterback. I'm not trying to set you up for anything, but I need your enlightenment. I need your help on Tannehill. What is up with it? Because we have this guy, Jeremy, he always calls in. He's actually a good guy, but I swear to God, I think he does everything he can to get under Eli's skin, and unfortunately he does. He's a cool guy, man, but he's always nailing Tannehill. So enlighten me, please.
Well, here's the deal with Tannehill, scorekeeper. I mean, he's a rookie, or he was a rookie last year. He didn't have the greatest rookie season by any stretch of the imagination, all right? Now, is it totally his fault? No. I mean, when you ask a guy to put up numbers, when you're throwing the football to guys like Brian Hartline and Fasano, I mean, what do you really expect? And that's why they, you know, in a lot of people's opinion, they overpaid for Mike Wallace. But you got to ask yourself, did they really have any other choice? If they didn't overpay for a guy, it's not like anybody's just going to come up to the Miami Dolphins and say, I want to play for you. It's not going to happen. So Miami did what they had to do, in my opinion, and go out there and get Mike Wallace. Yeah, they paid too much for him. Again, they had no other choice, scorekeeper. They had to spend the money. Or else, he wasn't going to go to Miami. He wouldn't have gone to Miami if it wasn't for that. So expect Tannehill to have a little bit better of a season next year with bringing in guys like, Tannehill. I think they've brought in a couple of other guys as well. I know
Did they bring in Gibson?
Yes, Gibson's another guy. Dustin Keller from the New York Jets. tight end.
Oh, yeah.
They brought him in. So they're bringing in guys for Tannehill to throw the football to. And and they also re-signed Hartline. So the Miami's going to be better next year when it comes to throwing the football. Now, how well they're going to run the football, I don't know. Reggie Bush comes, you know, he's going to Detroit now. And I don't know who's going to be running the football for them. So that's definitely a need that they're going to have come April in the draft, which we're going to cover. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Dolphins do at the draft.
You brought a smile to my face, man. I had so much fun. That was great. I am looking forward to that one again. Your draft coverage, dude. If I'm blowing smoke up there, as they said in Top Gun, I'm sorry, but it's true. I had such a great time with you doing the draft.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. I've never, covered it like that before. And I'm surprised because, Sonny and I, we've been doing the show together for 3 years now, and last year was the first time that we did it. So it was a lot of fun, though. I mean, the way that we did it last year was the first – I mean, we've always, been on at the time of the draft and whatnot. We did it 2 years ago. However, last year was like we went all out. And I can't wait to do it again this year. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, hopefully you can join us. Hopefully you're there, scorekeeper, to be a part of the draft coverage with us.
Oh, heck yeah. And, of course, the channel will be available because I think we had to do that, didn't we? You guys were on, and then we went over to my channel to continue it.
Yeah, I think we did a full 3 hours, and within 3 hours, they only went through like 25 picks, and they still had about six or seven more to go. So we're like, oh, what are we going to do? And scorekeeper, you came to the rescue, said, all right, I'm going to go set a show up real quick, and we'll continue this thing. So that's exactly what we did.
It was great, and I'm looking forward to that. I know we're going to be covering it. I'm sure a lot of other people are going to be joining us, too, and have some commentary. I'm already prepping for it, Cuervo. I really am. So I am looking forward to that. I guess just very quickly, I wanted to add, there's also news coming out of Miami that former Falcons cornerback Brent Grimes has also visited with the Dolphins, and apparently Jake Long has also paid a visit to the Dolphins. So Dolphin fans, Ben fans, there's a lot of stuff going on down there. And like I said about Seattle, it is great to know that there is a movement like that going on. So they are going to be better, I hope.
Absolutely. Now, name that quarterback one more time for me, scorekeeper, that visited Miami. I didn't quite hear who you
were
talking about.
I'm sorry, not quarterback. Cornerback. Sorry about a CB. Brent Grimes.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah,
okay,
from the Falcons.
Be a good signing for them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
course,
bring Jake
Long
back. Yep. If he goes back to Miami, I think that'd be a huge help for Tannehill. I mean, because if they don't have left tackle to protect that blind side, that's gonna be a tough day. It'll be a tough season for him.
Oh yeah. So. Ladies and gentlemen, again, I want to take a moment and welcome all of our guests that are both with us live and in the archive. I want to thank you for that. Today is, as Cuervo says, which program are we doing today?
I don't know. I mean, we're doing That Being Said.
Yeah, we're doing That Being Said, ladies and gentlemen. Having a good time. I know Couch Potato will be back shortly. Baseball season is around the corner. I know the NBA is really getting tight right now. And, of course, we're getting the bracket stuff coming up. I mean, when do they open? When does March Madness start up?
Well, actually, it's a good thing you brought that up, scorekeeper. Tonight is actually the selection show. So for those that are into seeing, as the seeds come out, who is going to be where, if you have a college basketball team that you follow, I believe Selection Sunday starts at, let me get this correct, I believe it's at 6 p.m. Eastern, or it could be 7. It's going to be coming out very, very shortly. Actually, you know what? Let me correct that. It's coming out at 3 p.m. Eastern, which is 12 o'clock your time. So it's in a matter of a couple of hours.
Oh, wow.
All right. Fair enough.
Well, I know I'm going to be joining Couch Potato today at noon. We're going to be doing the football game, but I don't know, Cuervo, if you wanted to do something, the channel's available to you. As you know, we can do two programs on my channel.
Okay. All right. I think what I'm going to do, scorekeeper, is Brian on Wayne Sports Talk is going to have a show tonight.
Oh.
He's going to do a selection show / NFL free agency. So I'll more than likely join his show and just kind of piggyback on him.
That's cool. I'm going to get my bracket. I don't agree, Cuervo. I'm still unhappy with the way they redid the bracket. I know. I get it. It's money. It's bigger. But I guess I'm an old-fashioned guy. I like the bracket. It should have stayed that way.
Yeah. I mean, they've done a lot of changes. However, I think what turns a lot of people off is, you know, a lot of the automatic bids that happen and stuff like that. It takes away from some teams that might be I don't want to use the word deserving because I know how you and I both feel about that word. However, teams that might have earned a spot more than others. I'm trying to think of a way to put it, but I'm having a little bit of trouble.
No, Cuervo, I get you. Continue with that. And look, there are times when, you know, the word deserving is appropriate. But the way most people use it as deserve, no, you and I don't go for that. But I know what you're trying to say, and I'm at a loss for words, too. So, you know what? This is one of those Twilight Zone moments where we can get away and use it.
More deserving. Okay, I said it. More deserving. Teams that are more deserving because of the. When it comes to sports, I just don't feel like anybody deserves anything. It's got to be earned.
Yeah, I agree, dude. I agree with you on that. You should see the couch potato. The big dog. He flinches when he hears someone say deserves to see how I'm going to react, or he says, I know you hate this scorekeeper, but he deserves. Like, oh, cut it out. No one deserves. You've got to earn it. And it's a shame that some people will never get to the Super Bowl or the World Series or the finals. And I understand what the word deserving is or they deserve. But, hey, you know what? This is what America's about. If you deserve something, go play Little League ball. Everyone gets a trophy. Everyone goes to the pizza party. You know, hey, Cuervo, if we're ever going to play co-ed sports, I guess we deserve pizza, right? After the game.
There you go. Exactly. You're absolutely right. You know, we are the, the deserving part of Blog Talk Radio, so to speak.
Oh, hell yeah. There I do agree. We are the deserving part. We deserve some award here over on That Being Said, the sports show, and the extravaganza. Ladies and gentlemen, it's really good stuff. We're having a good time this morning. For those of you that know and don't know, the Couch Potato had a family issue he had to go ahead and resolve. We are expecting him back very soon. So it's going to be good. As Cuervo announced, the Bri is having a program tonight, as usual, at 6 p.m. I'm going to try to get there. The reality is, once I'm done with the game with Couch Potato, we're probably going to run out, be out and about, and we'll see what we're going to do. But I am going to have my bracket ready to go. Going back, and you're right, yeah, the bracket starts this Tuesday, buddy. We were talking about this last year, and the National Invitational Tourney, what is now happening with that? Because I don't know any better. So did it completely destroy it? Did it make it, you know, worthless? Or like, what? Tell me, because that was the worry last year.
You're asking about, like, the new way they do the brackets now? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I remember that the NIT was before March Madness. So,
yes.
So what has happened? Because I didn't hear anything about the NIT this year. Did it become part of, or I mean, what? What's the deal with that?
I really don't know.
No, it's not part of any, you know, like, that part hasn't changed. What has changed, though, is instead of having 65 teams in, now they do 68 teams. And what they do is those, you know, numbers 65 through 68, those four teams will play each other. Well, actually, hold on, let me take a step back. Two of the teams will play each other, okay? So numbers 65, 66, 67, 68. Okay, out of the 68 that get selected, those last four, they pick who's going to play each other. So you get two teams that play each other, and those two teams will get a bit into the tournament and have to play those number one seeds, depending on which region they place them in. So it's like that's the only difference that has really been made within the past couple of years. And now it gives opportunities for more bubble teams to get in there and you know, make a case for why they should be in the tournament.
I appreciate that, Cuervo.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have my bracket, the MarchMadnessAction.com. As you know, the first round is March 19th to the 20th. The second round, Cuervo, is March 21st to the 22nd. The regional semifinals are March 23rd to 24th. The regional finals are March 28th to the 31st. Then the national semifinals are April 6th. And I believe those are the Sweet 16. No. The regional finals are the Sweet 16, right? Or no, wait.
Yeah, that's the third round is the Sweet 16.
Okay. And the national semifinals are April 6th. And, of course, the national championship is on April 8th. Do you know where it is this year? I don't know.
Let me look it up. I know they normally have all that information as far as, you know, where the location is and stuff like that. Let me pull it up real quick. The national championship game is going to be in Atlanta. Actually, Final Four is going to be in Atlanta.
Got it. Yeah, this one I'm going to be following on because listening to Cuervo's Corner over the years, or College Corner, I've been having to pay more attention to. It's funny. I'm going to do you guys in on the conversation that Couch Potato and I have. And every time we mention college, Sonny and I go silent. it's that's the conversation. And we'll laugh like that, Cuervo. It's like, oh, man, as much as we want to get into college, it is difficult. But, like I told you guys 4 years ago, I'm learning football from you guys. I've been learning college from you. And I know that the big dog is more of a college guy, too. He knows quite a bit more than I do. And I've been picking up quite a bit from him, too. I am looking forward to this bracket one, March Madness. It's going to be a big deal. I don't have any favorites on this one. I'm not smart enough for that, Cuervo. But I'm looking forward to seeing the matches and seeing what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, and especially this year, Scorekeeper, because, you know, just to fill you in, I don't know if the Big Dog did or if you heard it from Brian, normally you have teams that most of the so-called experts have as, you know, pretty strong favorites. This year is absolutely wide open. You could see a 10 seed from one of the regions win the tournament out of the, you know, the 18 seeds that are in each or the 16 seeds that are in each of the four regions. We could see a 10 seed versus an 8 seed in the championship game. You just never know. So it's a very wide open tournament this year. So pretty much what I'm telling you, Scorekeeper, feel free to pick teams based on their mascot or based on, well, I don't like them because they're, you know, they're rivals of UCLA or whatever. You know, there's really no strong favorites this year. So it's a very wide open bracket to, you know, pick and choose how you want.
Now, other than the four teams that are there right now, you know, everyone loves to talk about the Cinderella teams. Are there going to be any Cinderella teams, or we just don't know that yet because the brackets haven't been formed? Is there a chance for some Cinderella teams to get in there?
We don't know yet, scorekeeper. I mean, it's like you said, it all depends on the seeding. You know, who's going to get that 12 seed? A lot of times, a 12 seed will make it deep in the tournament, or you know, a 13 seed or something like that. It just all depends. You know, sometimes you have teams that didn't do well in their conference tournament, but they're really good teams. For example, you know, if somehow Kentucky gets in, I think they could be a team that can surprise people, because once they get healthy, that's been the big story with Kentucky this year, is that, you know, their top guys have been hurt all year. But if they get their guys back, watch out, because Kentucky could be a team that could really do some damage. You know, and then you got other teams in other conferences that can do, you know, that'll be able to do some damage as well, like Michigan. Michigan didn't do well in the Big Ten tournament this past week. However, that doesn't mean they're not a good basketball team. But what's going to happen to Michigan is they're going to get a low seeding because they were one and done in the Big Ten tournament. They're still the same team, though. So they could be a team that could, you know, be a, I wouldn't say Cinderella team. A Cinderella team, somebody we never heard about. Like George Mason a few years ago. Yeah, well, yeah, Gonzaga. Yeah, number one seed is a Cinderella. Yeah, it's possible. But, you know, but I mean, you know, a team like, and I'd have to actually sit here and look at it, but, you know, there's teams out there that could really do some stuff. Valparaiso, I'll use that as an example. A team that nobody's really talking about this year, but could make some noise and get deep in that tournament.
Wow. You know, I was accepted to a college up north in Northern California. It was just north of San Francisco. Sonoma State University. That's, you know, a very, very, very tiny liberal school. So unlike Gonzaga, Sonoma State University, wherever to make it, that would be a no name, and that would generally be a hell. If they'd make it, I think they'd go all the way.
You never know. I mean, like I said, we've seen VCU, Virginia Commonwealth, get to the Final Four a couple of years ago. We've seen George Mason do it. We've seen a lot of you know, teams surprise people, and. Oh, you never know. It could happen again this year.
You know, and, you know, the commentary that conversation, or the conversation that Corval and I are having, ladies and gentlemen, is one that it's deep in our American psyche. We are a collection, I don't say this derisively, but we are a collection of many, many cultures. We are the runts of the world. You know, the poor, the disaffected, you know, Lady Liberty says it. Let me take all of you. And as Americans, we've had a struggle for everything. And even in our own world right here in the United States, when we have a small team and we have the teams that aren't the best, and when they can contribute, when they can do something, it's fun. Because we, you know, we're all Chicago Bear fans. We're all Yankee fans. But when it turns out that you have a story like this, people love it. They love to see where they're going to go and what they're going to accomplish, because that's who we are as Americans, Cuervo. It's a big deal. And that's why we're having that conversation right now. I think it is a lot of fun and apropos. And maybe the couch potato can go ahead and continue in that commentary when it comes to Cinderella teams.
Absolutely, because, you know, it's going to sound kind of cliche and kind of, you know, weird, but in the U.S., you know, sometimes it's about making dreams come true. And for these kids that are in this tournament, you know, people are always doubting them and saying, there's no way you're going to make it past the first round, the second round, or whatever. And when they make it to the Final Four, it's like, look at us now. You know, you know, sometimes that's what it's all about. It just takes that one opportunity for a person to get the job that they're looking for, or when it comes to sports, that one opportunity to get into a tournament or even a playoff. I mean, like we've seen in baseball a couple times, scorekeeper. You know, the St. Louis Cardinals a couple years ago, they had to win, what, 15 out of 20 games or something like that just to get to the playoffs. And what did they turn around and do? They turned around and they won the World Series. So it just takes, you know, that one small window of opportunity for something big to happen.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the movie Transformers 3, when they have that one missile, they say, guys, we only have one shot at this. And, of course, Shia LaBeouf says, well, then that's fine. Then we're going to take that one shot. That's all we got. And it's very apropos to sports. Couch Potato, take yourself off mute. Welcome back. How's your daughter, pal? Everything all good?
Oh, everything's fine. Everything is good. Just sometimes she has an attack every once in a while, so it's not. So it's not a big deal. I'm trying to. I lost the studio. So I'm going to get back into the studio. And
hey, Couch Potato, you there? No, just screwing with you, dude.
Yeah, don't be messing with me. That's just wrong. See, that's a wrong thing to do. But I knew I was off mute because I know when you call back in and you are the host, your mic is live. So I knew that, you smartass.
Gentlemen, Cuervo, I've had an enjoyable conversation with you, but you guys know the details. And my wife was here a few moments ago, and I said, I'll be done in 30 minutes. And she said, I need you to be done now. And I'm like, I'm done. Couch Potato, your arrival is timely. Guys, my wife wants to go out right
that.
Now.
Sorry about that. Go teach
me. You know, I know. Thank you. Cuervo, I love the morning. Couch Potato, I love the morning. Guys, I really am going to bail at this exact moment. She doesn't want me to wait 30 minutes. So, Couch Potato, I will be in contact with you. All right?
Sounds good. All right. We will talk to you soon. We are back. I am back. Sorry about that. I had to bail. So I have no idea what direction the show's gone to. So, Cuervo, where are you at and what are you talking about? I know you're kind of talking about Cinderella's a little bit in the March Madness here of the 2013 March Madness.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about that, talking about Selection Sunday is actually coming up here in just a matter of a couple of hours. And, you know, some teams that could be a higher seed than others, teams that could make a push for, you know, the quote-unquote Cinderella story of the season. And I was just telling the scorekeeper, you know, because he was explaining, and we all know that he's not a big college guy. And I said, you know, this is a year where you can feel free to pick teams based on if you think their mascot is cool, if you like the colors of the uniforms,
yeah,
or if it's just a rival of the college that you root for and you can pick against them, because that's how wide open the tournament is going to be this year. Say what you want about Indiana. If I had to put money on Indiana, I might as well kiss that money goodbye, because there's no guarantee they're going to win. Now, I know people are, well, there's never guarantees. But what I'm saying is that even the quote-unquote experts don't have a clear favorite of who they think is going to win the tournament. I'm telling you that some experts on the TV, when you watch it tonight, they're going to pick somebody because they have to. Now, it's part of their job.
Right.
But if you get them behind, you know, closed doors, okay, who do you really think? I have no damn clue, because that's how open the tournament's going to be this year.
And how many number ones fell this year, right, Cuervo? I mean, if you think about it, there must have been about 7 or 8 number ones this year. So, and just kindly briefly keeping track of it and things like that. Michigan went down. Indiana went down. A couple other teams have gone down. Those, you know, it's. And this is the best tournament. I mean, because everybody wants the NCAA to kind of do something like the same thing for football as they do for that. Maybe obviously not on the grand scale, but scale it down. But, you know, in reality, when you think about it, this is the best way to do it. One and done, winner takes all kind of things. I think they can probably do it. They're doing that next year, right? If we're voting for football, they're doing it for 4, right?
As of right now, I believe it's a 4+1 with a +1 system. But you know what? It is better than nothing. I just think the argument's going to continue, though. You're going to have that six-seeded team that can say, hey, we could beat these guys.
Yep.
And it's just going to continue. I think they should go to 8. That's my opinion.
Yep.
I think 8 is the perfect number because anybody that's below number 8 in college football after the season is done, it's because they had a bad loss somewhere down the road. And
yep.
You know what? In my opinion, they don't deserve a spot at a national championship.
And I am a guy, I take a look at it, I love 16 because I love that number in a tournament, but you're absolutely right. Once it gets past, you know, and even if you want to give it to 10, maybe a 10 with two byes. I don't know. It just seems like, there's nothing. I don't think you should have the bye in the tournament. So, yeah, I think 8 probably is the right number. But you're right. This year, at the March Madness as it is, it's, you know, I kind of feel bad because there are so many out there, but this is the year. You're right. You can have your friends jump into this and do this. I know nothing. You can go and pick some crazy team. I'm picking the same team that I picked for the last 2 years. And the reason why I am is because it is that open and it is that way. So I am thinking I'm going to pick with the same ones. I'm not going to win, but I'm going to stick with it because of the opening that is going on here. So when you're looking at the brackets and looking at your guys, the first two rounds are probably where you might be able to win with a lot of quote unquote upsets that are going to be happening in that first round there, Cuervo.
Right, and like I was telling the scorekeeper, a lot of times, you know, your Cinderellas will come from that 12 seed or that 11 or 10, you know, somewhere between 10 and 13, like VCU a couple of years ago, George Mason back in 2007, I think it was 2006.
Yep.
I mean, who really expected George Mason to get that far? I never even heard of George Mason until that happened. So. You know, it happens. It happens a lot. I mean, we've seen it in the past, and I think it's going to happen again with a couple of teams this year. It's not going to be just one. I think there's going to be about two, maybe even three teams that make a deep run that, you may not have even heard of before.
Yeah, and this year so far, this is just what I see. Kansas, they win the Big 12 championship. Miami gets the ACC final spot. Louisville winning big in the Big East. And Syracuse, just as Syracuse was going to win that game, by the way, at least from what I'm reading here, Louisville came back and got it. So there's some automatic bids that are already in there. I don't know. This is just the tournament. It's going to be good, and I'm looking forward to it. By the way, don't forget to fill out your tournament thing. You're doing it with us, right? Have you signed up over there?
Oh, you know what? I have not signed up yet, but however, yes, I am going to do one with the Couch Potato. We're going to go head-to-head with each other, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we're going to do it with my family, actually. My dad, my brother's girlfriend, my niece's boyfriend, and my uncle and his son. So we're going to go to Cuervo's going up against the Clarks. I don't know. We'll find out who wins it. I want to pick Xavier, but I know I can't pick Xavier to win it all. So I'm not going to do it. I was just exaggerating when I did that. But for the last 2 years, I've been watching Xavier do, what they've done. And they impress me. So that's the reason why I win. But I just can't do it for a third year in a row. I think I might be shooting myself in the foot. But March Madness is upon us. That selection. When does that selection thing? I know it happens sometime today. When does it happen?
Let me give you an exact time, Sonny. I think it might be even as early as 2:00 our time, but that doesn't sound right because Florida and Ole Miss are playing right now as we speak in the SEC championship game. So let me flip through real quick. Nope, that's not it.
I know it's happening today. I just don't know when they're going to do it. So
yeah, it's here it is, 5 p.m. So
5 p.m.
5 p.m. our time. So was that 6 on the East Coast, 3 on the West Coast?
Yep. So just as we're getting off the call over on the Couch Potato Sports Show, they'll be doing the picks for doing selection Sunday. So it'll be are they putting that on TV, Cuervo? I mean, they're doing just about anything and everything on TV. Are they putting that on TV?
Oh yeah, absolutely, son. It's going to be on CBS. It's going to be on ESPN, and I think those are the only two. So CBS and ESPN, I know for a fact, are going to have it.
CBS paid some big bucks in order to keep March Madness, and I think they probably did the very right thing. They're paying a lot now, but it would probably cost them a lot more later on down the road, because this tournament just seems to grab up the nation's attention. And I know why it is, because no one's really – unless you're really a college basketball buff there, Cuervo, you know, no one was really paying attention to college basketball until they hit February. So, you know, everybody's been watching since February, kind of, you know, taking the 2 weeks between the the last playoffs game and the Super Bowl to start watching it. But up until that point, it's been kind of dead. And everybody now is getting into college basketball. So I think that's one of the reasons why. And if they didn't get the agreement that they got to, which they paid through the nose for, I think down the road that's just even bigger money for the NCAA. And that always brings up the question each and every year, Cuervo, especially as far as basketball, how much money this tournament actually makes for the NCAA. And we always get back to the same question: should athletes be paid?
Right. And you know what? I mean, I'm sure it makes a lot of money, but I bet you it doesn't make as much as BCS football games does. But I think it does. I think it makes quite a bit. I couldn't put a number on it.
I don't know what those numbers are. Whatever they are, Cuervo, they're through the freaking roof. I mean, they pay, if I'm not mistaken, I think they paid $50 million just for the rights of that. I'll look that up as we're talking, but you know, what they paid for March Madness is exactly the word. It's madness. So, you know, when you look at the monies that are involved with it and how it all works out, what it does, it's interesting. Here it is. $1 billion madness. This is what I'm just looking at this thing, and it came. It's on Forbes, so you know, usually those are the kind of things. 3 weeks, 67 games, 4 networks, channel, no overlapping in coverage. And let's see, where's the number? That's what I want to know. Here it is. All right. CBS and Turner took over $1 billion in 2012 for the tournament. The average price for a 30-second spot in the Final Four went for $700,000. Now, so the money is there, and I'm trying to find the actual number that they actually paid in order to do, you know, to have the rights to the games and everything. But this is the kind of thing that makes you know, that it starts the talk in the generation, generating a talk about athletes being paid each and every year. When you see stories like this, what they're getting paid for their spots and everything else, you know. So I'm going to get to it. I'm going to ask Cuervo. It's the $63,000 question: should athletes on the college level be paid? And we've talked about it. Has your opinion changed over the 3 years since we've been doing this show? Should athletes in college be paid?
That's a tough question, Sonny, because when you think about it, if these college guys get paid, the question then becomes, are they going to be responsible enough with the money that they get? You know, if they go out and they do something stupid, then now you're talking about, you know, these students not just jeopardizing their athletic careers, but their academic, you know, eligibility at a school. Because
I'm sure if you get in trouble, I'm sure even if you have straight A's in a school, you know, you could easily be dismissed from that university or whatever the case may be. So it just depends. I mean, I think maybe if anybody upperclassmen, because they're quote unquote a little more responsible than a freshman or a sophomore, I just don't know. It's just the level of responsibility that college kids have nowadays kind of makes me nervous if I'm the dean of a university or, it does. It makes me nervous because I don't know if these kids are going to go out there and do something stupid with their money.
Yep. Here we go. April 22nd, 2010, a 14-year, $10.8 billion agreement was reached with Turner to receive joint broadcasts with CBS for the NCAA March Madness College Basketball Tournament. This came after there was speculation that ESPN would snag the rights for the future tournament games. NCAA took advantage of the opt-out clause in the 1999 deal with CBS, which ran through 2013, even though the NCAA had the option of ending the agreement after the 2010 championship. So they announced the intention to sign the new contract with CBS and Turner Sport, which is a division of Time Warner, which also co-owns the CW television network with CBS. The new contract came as a serious consideration of the NCAA of expanding the tournament to 68 games. So the games are going to be held up on CBS, TBS, TNT and True TV, just to let you know.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to mention to you too, Sonny, is that the games, during the week, as the first round goes on, you're going to see games on CBS, on TBS, on TNT, on True TV. I think there might be one more channel as well, but I know those four channels are going to have games on. So
yep.
It's going to be a pretty fun weekend.
Yep. So CBS, TBS, True TV, and TNT are the ones that are covering it. And here's the number of games per network. CBS has 26 games. TBS has 16 games. True TV will have 13 games, and TNT will have 12 games. That's the breakdown of the how they're doing it. So. You know, there's a lot of money in March Madness. You know, I fill out a bracket every year. I name it the I Have No Clue bracket because I really don't have a clue. It could be anybody and everybody, and it's not very often the number ones win the damn thing anyway. So it's very much fun to do. And for those who do have that time during the week, during the day, you know, a lot of people find excuses to go home early or to get on out or take an extra long lunch to watch the basketball game at the bar. You know, I think that's what's so cool about opening day of baseball and March Madness and spring training. Those are my three favorite times of the year there, Cuervo.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. So, I mean, the tournaments, Super Bowl weekend,
big time.
And just football season in general is a lot of fun. But other than that, I would have to say March Madness is a good time. And, so I'm right there with you.
So I don't know. How much did you cover? We got about 7 minutes left. And, you know, we didn't get a lot to talk about Kobe. Did you guys talk about Kobe while I was out?
Not at all. No, we talked NFL, then we went straight into March Madness.
Let's do this. Kobe Bryant, what is your thinking about? You kind of briefly said what you were talking about on Sports Talk with the guys. Kobe Bryant, the situation with the injury and the so-called quote unquote dirty play. What's your take up on it?
I think the guy knew what he was doing. As far as the defender is concerned, I just don't think there's any place for that in the NBA. I mean, it's like, what is your purpose? What purpose do you have to try and injure another player? What's the reasoning for it? I just don't get it. So am I saying he's a dirty player? No. At the same time, he knew exactly what he was doing, and I feel like he met his goal. And I just think there's no place for that in the NBA, in basketball, in sports.
Yeah. I look at it, you see, I look at it totally different. I don't see that he was doing it on purpose. What I saw, and this is just from what I saw, and I've watched the tape over and over, and I played the game. What happens, the guy got out of position. There's no question Kobe had him, as far as, but what he did is just what I was taught when I played the game. Don't matter, get your hand in his face. Do what you got to do. So when I look at it, I don't see it as a dirty play, as more so as getting the hand in the face. And frankly, the foul, everybody says that it was a foul. So I'm going to agree with the expert. You know, when he was taking the shot, there was no contact during the shot. It was when he's coming down from the shot. And that's where they're going, where the foul came. And I don't know, you know, when I, unless the game has changed over the years, it was while the shot was being taken. And the ball was clearly out of his hands. And by the way, the shot didn't go in either, which is another thing, which he did what he was supposed to do, which is disturb the shot. And Kobe was fading back anyway. And when he came down, they said he came down on his foot. It didn't come down on his foot either. So, you know, I'm missing where the foul was. So I'm just going to accept the fact that there was a foul called on that, and it was a foul. But as far as dirty, as far as, you know, going after Kobe and stuff like that, there was no intention on that, at least as far as what I saw. But the thing about it is that Kobe, see, Kobe Bryant starts raising a fuss about anything and everything. And that's what this, okay, all right, not anything and everything. But when he raises his voice, he feels like if he is not heard, then it's wrong. So what it is it's his ego. It's his opinion about something that goes on in basketball, that if it doesn't go his way, everybody else is wrong, he's right. That's the thing that I don't like about Kobe. I love his passion. And like I said, and I told you, there's like maybe 5-7 players that the NBA is unwatchable anyway. But he's one that I can watch. So in his defense, I like the guy's play, but man, you know, just because he says something doesn't make it gold, at least as far as I look at when I look at Kobe Bryant and the NBA. So I'm not a great big fan of that kind of, and I call it crybaby bullshit. But get out there, play the game. It's a tough game, and there is some contact in the game. So, you know, it's one of those things that happened, but I don't think it was intentional.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've only seen the replay a couple times, Sonny, so I can't really say, like, you know, like an in-depth breakdown like you just did. However, from what I saw, it just, to me, it kind of looked like he stepped in a little more than he had to, so
right,
to speak. And I mean, it doesn't even seem like he tried to jump. He just kind of stepped in,
right,
to
get a hand
Kobe,
in his face.
What Kobe
yeah.
was right. Well, yeah. I just think if he really had an intention of blocking the shot, you don't step in. You got to jump up. I mean, that's common sense. So,
oh, I don't think he was trying to block the shot at all, Cuervo. I don't think that was the intention. I think that the intention was, you know, a lot of people don't know about basketball. When a hand goes up, it's not necessarily always to block the shot. Sometimes it's to do exactly what it is, distort the vision of the player. And I think that's what he was trying to do, was distort the eyesight of Kobe in the shot. So That's kind of where I'm at on it.
Well, okay, Sonny, if that's what you believe, then, then that's what you believe. I just think because of who Kobe is, I think there was a small amount of intention, in my opinion. So, and that's not to defend Kobe. I'm just saying I can't deny who he is.
Right.
I mean, I may not like Kobe Bryant. However, I can't deny who the guy is. He's a 5-time champion,
yep.
And you know, people don't want to see him on top anymore. So it's
I get that thinking from a lot of people.
Yeah, so, I mean, it just, you know, now where I do agree with you 100% is just because Kobe said it doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, and his comments, you know, his take on the whole thing was not very Kobe-like, and I think it was a little immature on his part for a guy that's, you know, 15 or 16, 17-year NBA veteran. I thought he could have handled it a little more professionally, a little better. But to talk about getting revenge and things like that, I mean, you expect that from the young punks, you know, not Kobe Bryant.
You should.
So that surprised me a little bit.
Yep. You shouldn't worry. You shouldn't have to. I agree. A big time. I think you're spot on.
So because what does he have to prove to that Atlanta Hawk player? Because I think it was the Atlanta Hawks that were playing.
It was a former Atlanta Hawk. Was it the Atlanta Hawk? Yeah, it was the Hawks. Yes, it was. Yep.
I mean, what does he really need to prove to that guy? The guy's got, you know, he's got 5 rings already. He doesn't have to prove anything.
Yep.
So I just think he was a little immature about the whole thing. And, you know.
And that's Kobe's MO sometimes, but, that, you know, that's the way it works. So, you know. Well, unfortunately, I had to bail. But for a little bit, but we're back, and you're better than ever. We are out of here. We're done for it. I hope you have a good day, my friend.
Oh, I will, Sonny. You do the same.
You betcha. Make sure you hop on over to the Wisconsin State Sports Show in 1 hour to catch the Texas Revolution taking on the Chicago Fighter. We're out of here, everybody. Bye-bye.